हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। जय सो परमात्मा संदर्भ अध्याय 3 आदिकाण्ड 4 द ट्रूथ ऑफ द मटेरियल क्रिएशन पेज 66 रीति द इनकंसिस्टेंसीज of the Vibhartavad and Arambhavad are detailed in the next two Anuchetas. Anucheta 77. The existence of the effect in the cause is explained by negation in the of the opposite view, opposing view. Yat samanya visheshabhyam upalabhyeta sa brahma. Anyo ya pashvaya sarvam Yantavad avastu yat. What is experienced by Brahman becoming the effect is an illusion, since they are mutually dependent. Everything has a beginning and end, therefore is unreal, Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So the Brahman becoming an effect can't be real, right? So Brahman, and since Brahman is real, that can't happen, since Brahman is always unchangeable, it can't change, right? Can't become something else. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. That's Srimad Bhagavatam 12.4.28. According to Vibhartavad's theory of illusion, just as the effect of Brahman, the universe, is unreal, so Brahma as the cause is also unreal. So they're saying the universe is unreal, so therefore Brahman is not the cause of it. Right, because Brahman, because if you have cause and effect, that means that there's a connection between the two. And so since the material universe, its manifestation is unreal in their view, therefore the cause can't be Brahman. But then the problem comes up is if there's only Brahman, what is the cause of this material energy? What is perceived as cause and effect is perceived through error, since they are mutually dependent and thus impossible to determine. The meaning is this: just as one mistakes a rope for a snake out of ignorance, the rope is the cause and the effect, snake, is false. So Brahman is mistaken to be the universe out of ignorance. How can Brahman be the cause when it is dependent on the effect, the universe, which does not exist? Right? So this is their view, because they're trying to keep everything in a proper way. They're trying to use their material intelligence to understand these things. And so this becomes a big problem, because the Lord being transcendental, right? Because they claim Brahman is transcendental. So if it's transcendental, how will it be understood by material intelligence? You know, of course, they'll say in the end, you have to give up all these things, but how could it be a process anyway? How could something that is illusory be a process for understanding reality or truth? So they have to completely, you know, just leave this kind of approach. Then the problem comes is then Maya becomes something that has its own position, its own, you know, source. And all this. And so this becomes very difficult, because if they claim that everything is non-dual, then where does this Maya come from? This means that there is a duality inherently in the creation by that inference. So then Jiva Goswami continues. The meaning is this: if it is said that previously the universe did not exist in a subtle state, but only pure Brahman existed everywhere, samanya, Brahman would transform into the universe a particular effect, vishesha, by some shakti as a cause, and would itself become non-existent or illusory, Brahma. Brahma, since what is produced by the cause becoming the effect is supposed to be an illusion, right? So then if Brahman is becoming, then Brahman would cease to exist in its position. Because when you have cause and effect, that means then you have to have the effect in the cause. And so then we see that it would just naturally disappear. Because they're using material things. I take a lump of clay, I turn it into a pot. There's no lump of clay, there's a pot. So therefore, then they say there can't be a connection. And Maya has to come from somewhere else. But that doesn't make sense according to the philosophy. So then they have to find, one has to find a position that actually supports these seemingly inconceivable and contradictory statements. This is the claim of Vivartabad. Pure Brahman transforms into the illusory universe by Shakti in the form of ignorance. We do not agree with this view. Okay. Since Satkaryavad with Parinama of Shakti was already proven. So they're saying that Brahman is changing with this other Shakti that's not a Shakti of Brahman like this. So that's not going to work. So the Parinama has already been established that Brahman has energies. The energies transform. And so therefore, just as the nature of clay doesn't transform because we've made a pot, so therefore Brahman stays in their position. Anucheda 78. Do you understand about the effect which did not previously exist, proposed by Arambhavad and Vivartavad, footnote 12. Arambhavad. Arambhavad is propagated by the Vaisheshikas and the Nayikas. They claim that the effect is non-existence before its creation and is a new beginning, Arambha, a fresh creation, an epigenesis. Okay, it is distinct from its cause and can never be identical with it. It is neither an appearance nor a transformation of the cause. It is newly brought into existence by the operation of the cause. Therefore, Arambha, beginning. It's starting anew, right? Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses that terminology that when something goes wrong, then people say we should start anew. We should start fresh. So they have that Arambhavad idea that you could just out of nothing create something. So if there's something going wrong in a particular course of action, and that their idea is just throw out everything and start anew, start afresh. So it's coming from this. We see it's coming. So as it was discussed before, this Vaisheshika and this logic, they have a tendency, the modern scientists have a tendency to deal with these kind of things. So there's always a thing you just start afresh out of nothing, right? Out of the Big Bang, out of an infinitesimal small particle, not even a particle, they can't even measure it, comes everything, as if there is a mathematical formula that could show how you could get all that out of this. Means they won't have, but they'll accept such a position. So, okay. It is newly brought into existence by the operation of the cause. Right. Okay. Nyaya and Vaisheshika followers believe that Ishwara created the universe with the ultimate particles called anu, atoms. Here, Ishwara is considered as the nimitta karana, and the anu are the upadana karana. To shape the clay into a pot, a potter is needed. Without him, there is no earthen pot. Or in other words, the pot without the potter is non-existent. So when he shapes it out of clay, he is the cause and the pot the effect. This is called Arambhavad or Asatkaryavad, right? So it's not Satkaryavad means that the effect is always inherent in the cause. They're saying it's Asatkaryavad means it's not inherent in the cause. It's just like the potter is there, there's clay. And so the clay doesn't come from the potter, but without a potter, you don't get a pot. So in this way, Ishwara is transforming this energies, into the universe, but the energies don't come from Brahman. Sat means that which exists, the real, and asat, which does not. There's no pot in mere clay, right? Because you can say, okay, there's no pot in the clay. Yes, but the principle of how the metaphysical ability for clay to be made into a pot and the laws governing that, that's already there in the clay. But they're saying, no, none of that exists. It's just somehow another Ishwara comes along and takes this and creates this other thing. And if any complaint, well, he's Ishwara, can do whatever he likes, but it doesn't make sense logically. And which is sad because Nyaya, which are logicians, and Vaisheshikas, atomic theory. So they claim, they're like scientists. And so their theory doesn't actually, is not based on logic. See, they take a principle that's not logical and then apply logic to it. So because they've come up with their philosophy, and by applying logic, it doesn't make sense. Therefore, they'll only follow the logic once that point's been established. Then they continue. This is the meaning of dogma. Dogma means is that you're based on something that doesn't is not real, is not true. But after that, then you apply your logic and your systems and your methodology, and that. So you only discuss from that point. You don't want to discuss before that point. The
Maharaj,
non-existent part, yes.
can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
This mean when you said about the scientists, who are like taking a principle with not logical and develop with logic, can we say that if we accept only the ascending process, we are
Yes.
forced to use a system?
Yes. Yes, always we will do that because see a sense by the ascending system that you can only use your intelligence and mind and experience, right?
Yes.
So, and they also say if it can't be seen by the senses and documented by
Yes.
mathematics,
Yes.
they don't accept it as real.
Yes.
And so then that right there limits that you can't understand what is transcendental, what is beyond. So that means then everything will be, up to the particular point that they can perceive, they can see the patterns. And so then
Yes.
they'll document laws and everything as much as they can understand at the time. But then beyond that, they can't understand. And so it will always be a dogma. So it's only in the descending process you can actually understand. So that's why we even see is that, individuals who accept the Vedic version, but they're still applying the same inductive method, then there's also going to be they can't understand the Supreme. They may understand more about the material energy, the aparavidya, than those who don't accept, but they're still going to have the same problem. Then, if we accept, the aspect of the Lord, the theistic aspect, then we're going to find is that. That for as we mentioned, the first stage, they only take it up to a point because it's not about the person, it's about the benefits they get. And so in karma and jnana, it's about their own benefits. So they won't be seeing up to all the way up because if they do, then that means they are a servant. They have to surrender. And
Yes.
in karma and jnana, it's not about surrendering, it's about being the controller and enjoyer. Then if we get into devotional service, then if we're dealing with pure devotional service, then we can see that this will work very, very nicely because
Yes.
you see actually things as they are. And
Mm-hmm.
so then how things are descending and all that makes sense because the ascending process is just reverse engineering. But because they don't know the initial intent and everything and its actual source, then they're not going to really be able to understand everything. Of course, in their pride, they will always think that they can.
Yes.
So now, for pure devotional service, then the whole process won't be a difficulty. In mixed devotional service, if you have faith in pure devotional service, then also there'll be very minimal difficulty. You know, there may be obstacles, it may take time, you know, step by step, but one can move beyond because one has faith in the descending process.
Yes.
But now, if we have someone in mixed devotional service that has some issues, some misgivings, in those areas of misgivings, they're not applying the descending process. So that means just by that lack of application of the descending process due to their attachment, then they're only applying the inductive. So they'll try to apply logic to what they're doing, and that area will not be able to be understood, even though they're a devotee. Of course, by good association and by following the process, with time as the heart becomes purified, then these knots in the heart become loosened. And then one can start to see the fallacies that are there and give them up. But until that does happen, so they're thinking, no, by logic I'll understand this. Or there'll be some social, you know, there's some social economic kind of solution.
Mm-hmm.
But it will never give a solution because you're dealing with the absolute, and the world belonging to the absolute doesn't fall under our whims. So one has to be, you know, very much appreciative of this point that the ascending method has its limitations. In the beginning, someone only has that. They come across the descending method. And in examples, you try to make it. You try to bring the point that you're making through examples near to the person you're dealing with. So even though you're giving it to them in a descending method, they're going to start from the self and see a connection.
Yes.
You know. So in that way, they may still be using the inductive, but it's not a problem because they're hearing the deductive and getting it from a pure source. So the chit potency is there by the Lord's grace, then they realize, though they themselves may think, no, through my intelligence, I understood. But in reality, it has nothing to do with their intelligence. That they're using their intelligence in Krishna's service, then Krishna reciprocates. You know, just like you put in work for Krishna, then Krishna gives you the abilities in that work, or you use your intelligence, he gives you abilities there. But actual realization of him has nothing to do with karma or jnana. It's simply the sincere effort that you're putting into it. Right? Does that make sense? So any devotee can actually understand Krishna in truth. And no non-devotee can understand Krishna at all. You know, or just that little bit that he's unlimited, unchanging. This impersonal aspects of the impersonal, they can appreciate, but the actual reality they can't appreciate because the Lord reveals himself. He's beyond the senses. Right? Does that make sense? He's infallible. Achyuta, we're fallible.
Yes.
So how will we understand the infallible? But due to pride, which is also an infallible, a fallible quality, we think that's our qualification.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Means in the beginning, it will be, you know, just the sentiment. When that doesn't work, okay, my intelligence. When that doesn't work, then my false ego.
Yes.
You know? Like that. So you see that. Okay.
Very nice. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so where were we? Okay, so their point, there's no pot in mere clay, right? So they're taking it that the pot is the important and clay is the mere clay, right? You know, it's just like, so here it's, the point is that no, the clay, it's because of the nature of clay, that's why you have a pot. Their thinking is, no, the pot maker has made the pot. No, the pot maker is an instrument in making the pot. So here it is, Krishna is the cause, and he may also be the effect. He's the nimitta. He's the one that's causing the effect. So Krishna has the desire for the material world, and then we have that the Purusha avatars, then they will come, and then they will make it happen. So it's all connected with the Mahavishnu, let alone going back farther. Right. So the Jiva Goswami, however, points out that because the cause and effect are interdependent on each other, if the effect does not appear, the purpose of the cause is not accomplished. And if the cause is non-existent, the effect does not appear. So that's the difficulty, is they're trying to avoid this mutual dependence. But the point is there's no fault if the Lord, who is, you know, inconceivable, has inconceivable energies. He's the controller of these energies. He's not affected by them. He's the controller of them. But the point is you know the Lord through his energies, right? And the energies, without the Lord, they don't exist. So that's the point, is that if we're taking the cause exists on its own. But unless there's an effect, you can't call it a cause, right? It's not manifest as a cause until there's an effect. But without a cause, effect doesn't even, has no basis. So in here, as they're taking it as a mutual dependency, then they'll take it that there's a weakness in both. So therefore, the material world, because this is temporary nature, it's a sat nature. Therefore, if Brahman is dependent upon this Shakti, then that means it's also asat. But it doesn't mean that. It means that, because in effect, it can be manifest and not manifest. So there can be that temporary aspect to it. So that's not a problem, because we see energy transforms. So they can't complain about that, right? Because otherwise, how do the Anu or the atoms become everything that we see of this world, unless there's a transformation? So atoms are real, and the transformation is real, right? And when you get the transformation, the principle of atoms still exists. Right? The Asat Karyabha, okay. Srila Jiva Goswami, however, points out, because the cause and effect are interdependent on each other, the Asat Karyabhad is not acceptable. Right? The cause itself must have the Shakti of the effect within it, and the effect exists in subtle condition in the cause. The effect existed previously. Clay as a cause is proved by its gross effects as a visible pot. Okay, so that's a Rambavad, right? Just means it just happened out of nowhere. Vivartavad. They say that Brahman, with its creation. On the one hand, Brahman remains as pure jnana, as nothing but awareness. And on the other hand, he shows himself through the power of his maya, as all this universe with its living beings and its inert objects. There's all the appearance of the same reality, the reality in various disguises. If a man dons a disguise, he does not become another man. Similar is the case with all these disguises, all this jugglery of the universe, with all the apparent diversity, the one reality remains unchanged. This argument is known as Vivartavad, right? So then they're taking it as an illusion. So it's all Brahman. So there's only Brahman. And so then their position is this, yes, just everything's in disguise. It's all just Brahman. But then the problem comes is that, but where does this potency of the disguise come from? Since they say it's not Brahman itself, right? And they'll say it's a power of Maya. I mean, this Maya, yeah, with this power of Maya, but that means it has to have its source in Brahman. But since they're not accepting that source in Brahman, because they'll think then Brahman has an element within it of temporariness. So since it's not temporary, it can't be the position. They don't really properly define this. And so then that means there are no individuals or anything. So we're not individuals. We're just Brahman, dealing with all this diversity. So it's just Brahman dealing with themselves. But if that's the case, then why would Brahman need to do that? Brahman's already Brahman. If you say it's a pastime, then means Brahman has willpower. And if it has willpower, then that means things can be accomplished. But then they're saying no, that doesn't. So the difficulty, they only accept as much as will put them as an individual that they can become God. But the point is, if it's already here, you're already God. So then what's the point? You can say, oh, but when you remove it, then you'll understand. But Brahman's already Brahman. Brahman's already experiencing that ecstasy of Brahman. Why would it be covered? Never say it's covered, then that means you don't exist. So you don't have to being deal separately. So then why would they come as each individual? That, because then there's a different taste in each one. So these problems come up is that they're only accepting the logic in as much as it places that I'm God and I'm supreme controller. But if you remove that aspect from the equation, then you see it doesn't make sense. And so that means someone else is doing all this. Because they're saying, I'll be God and I'll taste Brahmananda. But if you're Brahman, then you won't exist individually. You won't taste. Yeah. Okay. Anyonya pashrayat sarvam adyantavad avastu yat. They are mutually dependent. Everything has a beginning and end, and therefore is unreal. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.428. The effect which did not previously exist and has beginning and end, adyantavat, cannot be defined, avastu, since there must be interdependence of cause and effect. As long as the effect does not appear, earth or shell as the cause is not accomplished. If the cause is non-existent, the effect does not appear. But so if it's an illusion that the shell is silver, but the point is then there has to be silver for that example to work. So silver is your cause here, and then the shell is the effect. Does that make sense? So there has to be that aspect. Then only that there has some meaning. So they're just taking the example that's used in Shastra to establish Satkaryavad and then using it against. Right. So that's the weakness of just applying logic. Like if someone says that's not logical, but the point is no, the acharyas have given it. Have faith in it. Try to understand. Purify the heart, then one will be able to understand that. If you say it's just sentiment, no, because the point is one is that the living entity is sentient and therefore has feelings and desires and everything like that. That's just the nature of the living entity. When we say something is sentimental, that means it doesn't have a scientific basis, but the point is it's not that sentiment is not a real thing. If sentiment is based on reality, then it becomes a real sentiment. If the sentiment is based on an illusion, then it's not a real sentiment. Though the sentiment exists, it's temporary. And the reason that it exists, and that is because in the spiritual world, they have real sentiment. So this idea that sentiment is automatically bad, that's also a foolishness. Because of interdependence, the theory of a Satkaryavad cannot be accepted. The cause itself must have the Shakti of the effect within it. On the other hand, actually, the effect exists in a subtle condition in the cause. The effect existed previously. Clay is a cause, is proved by its gross effects as a visible pot. Right. So the earth or shell is, yeah. Okay. Sarva sambandhini. The following should be yes.
No, these two philosophies, Rambhavad and Vivartavad, it's mainly what Ami and Gyani are developing.
Yes, yes. I mean, these are specifically more about I think the Gyani aspects, because the Vaisheshikas and Nyayas, they're generally would be Gyanis. Jaimini, I'm not sure, means you're only going to have these aspects, and everybody's going to use them for their own purpose.
Yes.
So just like in material consciousness, you only have karma and gyan. And then you can have opposite of that. Right? Mm-hmm. But we can see is that the opposite is dependent upon a karma and gyan. Because there's karma and gyan, you can have the opposite. You know, just like an atheist, you can have an atheist because there's theism.
Yes.
And they're opposed to theism.
Yes.
Right? But if there's nothingness, how can you be an atheist?
Mm-hmm.
If atheism, if there's nothing is the basis, then atheism is already the point. So it can't, how would it manifest? Because that's just the way things are. But because there's theism, you can get atheism. Just like there's light, you can get darkness. Right? So when you remove karma and jnana, the negative, then you get nothingness. You know, nirvishe shunyavad, you get these things. So they're a negative understanding. That's why there's only karma and jnana, but then you can also have that pessimistic approach where you negate those two and then you end up with void. Right? But you're not negating them by putting them into their proper place and seeing the transcendental position of the spirit, the Lord in the spiritual world and its associates and pastimes. And so that in itself negates the material, in that you're going back to the original form, not the reflection. But it doesn't mean that the principle of reflection doesn't remain.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that's the difficulty, is that there's always going to be the problem for, there's always going to be a problem of being able to function without this cause and effect.
Yes, yes.
Right? Yes. So in other words, the Asat Karyabad,
yes,
is Asat Karyabad. It's not a different philosophy. It's just negating Sat Karyabad.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So in the material world, you have dealing with what's there or negating what's there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So when, you know, in general, if you're just using the mind and the intelligence, then you have the karma and jnana. But if you want, you can reject them both. Because generally, jnana means the rejection of the karma, but you can also reject the jnana aspect also. So that's why you see in Buddhism, you have those that they're rejecting the karmas and all these things like this, leaving the jnana aspect. But then you see some of the schools are very extreme and reject everything, that there's nothing. You know, so they're really frustrated. So even in Buddhists, then there's stages until you get the absolute nothing. And then they'll come back and be the grossest materialist probably. You know, once they get tired of that.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Like a cycle.
Yes, it's like a cycle. Yes, yeah, always going in a cycle. Everything's cyclic. Like you see, the yugas are cyclic. You know, the days of Brahma, everything's cyclic. So in the same way, as you start off with karma, you know, with an enthusiasm, optimism, then you become pessimistic that it's not. So you want to go for something beyond that. And then once that's not working, then you become extremely pessimistic, you know, exclusively pessimistic. Then it becomes the voidism. Then, because we're a living entity, that doesn't work for us either. So then we just come back to karma. Does that make sense? So that's why you see that the Buddhism works very well for gross materialists who, you know, don't accept the Vedic version. Because then, if nothing exists, then you can do whatever you want. It's just up to you, whatever you feel, you know, whatever you think. You know. So they're just trying to establish that point of them being who they are and how they in that position, then they are going to be how do you say, they're going to be the supreme and all that. You know, since I'm trying to become the supreme by as a karmi, right? Because generally the karmis are always trying to move up through the passion and become the biggest, right? And that's dependent upon that you do have some people who are in ignorance who are not necessarily trying to move up so much. Right? So someone with more passion can move up more than someone with less. But then at some point you have to get to the position of goodness. And then once that doesn't good, then you go into the impersonal. When that doesn't work, then you go into the voidism. You know, which brings you right back around to the bottom again. You know, because the voidism isn't based on the soul or duties or God or anything. So that means it's just what you feel like. I want to be God. And so it's not working in these lower things. So then I get angry and then I destroy everything. So that's why you see, even in the political, they'll start off, you know, is with the idea that things are going to work like that. Then things don't work. Then you have one group that's still, you know, very enthusiastic about the program. Another group is pessimistic and they're always making comments about it and that. But then at one point when you see is neither of those are working, then you know that's then you have Bastille Day, right? Right? They go and right, try to burn down everything, blow it up like that. And you know, it happens everywhere, you know, in England also. Then you have the Guy Fawkes Day, they wanted to blow up the parliament, you know, but this Guy Fawkes got caught. Right, you know, like that. So it goes everywhere. You see now also just people get frustrated, you know, then they went into the Capitol, you know, and they, you know, made a mess of everything like this, you know. So it's just, you know, they just go and destroy the statues, something happens. So it's just the natural thing is that there's the optimism, then the pessimism, then there's just destruction. You know, and from that, because that doesn't work, then they'll just get back to enjoying. Right, you know, it's just like that typical, you know, that scene, the guy, the what do you call it, existentialist, you know, that nothing exists, nothing's real, and all that. And then he decides to kill himself. Why they could think that's it? Because if you don't exist, why kill yourself? Because if you're alive, it doesn't matter anyway. You don't exist. But somehow or another, it's always that has that mode of ignorance aspect. So he drives his car onto the railroad tracks. You know, the car is coming. You know, everything becomes very intense. The car goes, you know, the music is intense. The car goes by, I mean, the train goes by. He was on the wrong tracks. You know, he was on one set of tracks. The train went on the other one. And then he's looking and, okay. And then the music changes and he drives into town to enjoy himself. You know, right? You know, so that's the typical, you know, kind of thing is you see it goes through these levels. You think you can enjoy, then you get pessimistic that it's not working. So then you then become destructive. I mean, you know, pessimistic, that doesn't work. You're still not satisfied, then you become destructive. You know, so the anarchists, if it doesn't matter and all that, and they're not going to follow any rules, then why does it matter to blow anything up? Right? So the whole thing is there's always that aspect of that's the last stage when you see it gets to that totally destructive stage because it's destructive. There's no plan. It's not like you know, a war or something like that. There's a plan. This is just destruction. They'll say it's a war on this, but all they're trying to do is destroy. They're not that they have a background or something that they can do. It's not like, like before you see in the Vedic times, you have Yudhishthira Maharaj and Duryodhana. So then Yudhishthira is there to establish, you know, the proper understanding, the proper practice and everything. Well, Duryodhana is his point is whatever he feels like, that's what goes, right? So then, you know, but there's a background there. Yudhishthira can actually affect change. He can actually affect what he talks about, right? But you see anarchists, they don't. They just say if we blow everything up, then nature will take care of itself. But the point is if nature is so strong to take care, you just let it and nature will take care of everything that's going wrong also. You know, because they're thinking that they have to make it. But, you know, they're saying nature is everything. So why do we need you? Nature can take care. No, we have to do. No, well, you don't. Nature will take care. But so that destructive element just is part of the cycle. So in other words, you have positive, negative, and then you have destructive,
yes,
which is just the negative of the other two.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, okay. So sarva sambandhini. The following should be considered after the explanation given in Anucheda 77. By accepting Parinama, the reality of the universe is established. The non-difference of effect and cause was shown. Right, so here's, you know, as we were saying, complete non-difference was refuted by rejection of Vivartavad. Right, so you're accepting that you see the universe is real, otherwise you're taking it that it's an illusion. It doesn't exist. Or it exists separately on its own, which is an illusion. Either you're accepting that the material world as it is by illusion, means through illusion, I'm accepting the world as something I can enjoy. Then when you become more pessimistic, you see is that you can't enjoy this material world. Therefore, it's illusion. But the point is, no, your idea that I can enjoy it, that's an illusion. So you can already see the direction. Right? In other words, by being so optimistic, the point is that there is negative elements. At some point you see is that the pessimistic will naturally come up.
Yes.
And then we can see when they come to the pessimistic platform, then the platform of destruction is already there.
Yes.
Right? You know, within it. So So the reality of the universe is established, that the world is real because it's being a transformation of the energy of the real, you know, Brahman. But the problem comes is that it's temporary. So that's the unreal aspect. We're dealing with it as if it will give us eternal happiness when it won't. Then the non-difference of effect and cause was shown, because now, why is it real? Because it's coming from the Lord, right? So you're transferring that, establishes there. Then the cause and effect, that establishes then your understanding of the Lord and the relationship with the Lord. Then you have to get rid of a complete non-difference that they have, that they're completely the same or completely different. You have to get rid of these extreme views, because we're saying that the razor's edge is in the middle, and one side you have the impersonalism, the other side, the sahajiyas. That means these extremes always have to go. It's always the middle, like that. So it's a balance between the two. So the two have their position. There is oneness, but it's not exclusive. There is difference, it's not exclusive. So that means you have to have one and difference simultaneous. So to do that, that's achintya. That's inconceivable, right? Vriti, the author next summarizes the causal theories of various schools and points out their fallacies. The following excerpt from the book, The Six Systems of Vedic Philosophy by His Holiness Sahota Swami, will shed light on this concept, on this topic, the concept of cause and effect. The concept of cause and effect is the most fundamental metaphysical category. It assumes greater importance than other concepts as it provides the key to understanding of the knotty problem of how the one becomes many. The Shatvidya of Chandogya Upanishad asks, what is that by knowing which everything else is known? According to one school of thought, cause and effect are not the same. The effect is a product of the cause, but the former is not already existent. The former is not already existent in the cause. In other words, it's saying, okay, the cause is making the effect, but the effect is not inherent in the cause, like we already saw. Is that the potter, you can take him as the cause.
Yes.
Because he's transforming the clay into a pot. But the pot is not in the potter. But then also, neither is the clay. So then where is this relationship? Where do these come from? What's the basis of the potter? You know, what's the basis of this energy that can be transformed? This is called, known as Asat Karyavad, attributed to the Nyaya Vaisheshika system. According to another school of thought, the effect exists in the cause in a potential form and is only a manifestation of what already exists. This is the Sat Karyavad held by the Shankya system. It means it already exists, therefore it goes. So you see in Shankya, it's saying that you're taking this aspect and then, you know, you're taking the ether, and then by adding false ego, then you're going to get air. So that means the air already exists in ether. Then by adding false ego again, then you're going to get fire, right? Add it again, you get water, fire again, you get earth, right? So that means each one of them is already existent in the original. You know, it's just a matter of becoming more and more gross. So Shankya, you see, is explaining all this. So this Sat Karyavad is very important in the Shankya system because it's always about how that cause and effect. And from that, then you can see is, okay, the mind is there. Mind is coming from goodness. That means, you know, then by applying this, then mind coming from goodness. Goodness means having a proper understanding of things and therefore, you know, following, you know, the duties connected with that. In other words, if I understand what something is in reality, then I'm supposed to deal with it according to that reality within that context. So if I'm dealing with it in the context of that reality, then I must follow the rules and regulations of the laws governing it. That's mode of goodness. So when the mind accepts that, then you see there's progress. But if the mind thinks, no, I can do whatever I want with it, like, okay, maybe I follow the rules, but the results I'm going to use however I want. You know, so at least that person gets material success. But mode of ignorance is, no, it's not like the law states. I can do whatever I want. And doing whatever I want, I'll get whatever I want. But that doesn't follow the laws of nature nor logic or anything. So the person in the mode of ignorance doesn't actually attain anything. So that's why we see is that as the, you know, the thing goes forward, you induce more and more ignorance. Like we were saying, the karmi, it has that ignorance and the passion. Then you're getting into the pessimistic, and that then it has more and more of that element of it's opposite of what it is. It's destructive. Then you're going to get into the point where then they just throw it all out and it's just about destruction. So the idea is that in Shankya, you see, is you can't do that because there is a path that these things follow. And so therefore the mind has to be dealt with in this way because it's coming from the world of goodness, right? And you want to get things done, you have to use intelligence, not just sentiment, right? And then you want to be able to function in the context of the environment you're in, then there must be the identity, the ego, right? So if you have false ego, that's the problem, but you can't give up ego. So therefore, when you see, I am servant of the Lord, that establishes real ego. And then whatever's the particular facilities we have, we see them in their natural context, and then we use that in the Lord's service. But if we use if we don't use this motive, means we if we use this because of the benefits I'll get, that'll be passion. But if we reject all this, no, it's not like that. And okay, maybe it was like that before, but times have changed, you know, as if Krishna's laws changed, because it's the modes of nature that are changing perspective, not the laws. Right? The laws remain the same. It's just the perspective on them, which ones you value. That's what's changed. And so they'll say, it's not like that. We don't have to follow like that. We can do whatever we like. But where is the effect? Where is the good effect? You know, in other words, as long as individuals have been opposing the proper method, has there been any proper effect? Are people more satisfied now? Are they more protected? Right? The relationships are improving. No. So that's the thing, is as they get into ignorance. So we have to be very careful about these modes of passion, ignorance, because then the problem is they'll both end up in destruction. Only goodness can be maintained. Passion, ignorance must degrade. Right? Goodness can be maintained. But because there's a touch of passion, ignorance, it will start to degrade slowly. So only in pure goodness, then can things go forward. In other words, using the elements of goodness to please Krishna, right? And so the actual point of goodness is, we're the servants of the Lord. The material energy is His, so we use it in Krishna's service. Yeah, right? So what is it? Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe, like this. We use everything in Krishna's service. Then it can be worked. But if we identify with it, it's false ego, not real ego. Real ego, I'm a servant. False ego is, no, you know, what's my position? What's my rights? You know, like this, where's my control? And you see all the modern things, you know, are all based on these points. So they're always going to be bewildering, and they'll never give any benefits, right? So the Satkaryavad has to be accepted. That no, things that there's the effect is in the cause. So then if you say it's there, then there must be that aspect is there, right? So either on the spiritual platform, the energy is coming from the energetic. And so therefore then the manifestation of all these things is based on the Lord, right? And then His desire, and then things will develop nicely that way. Or in the material platform, then we see the aspect of prakriti has come from the principle of purusha, because purusha wants to control and enjoy. And what are you going to control and enjoy is prakriti, right? And so therefore, even if you say as no, women are independent, but the principle of being independent is dependent upon the masculine aspect, right? So that's the whole thing, is we have to just accept we're Shakti, and we have to work according to Shakti Man. So therefore, men and women are, you know, are not the enjoyers. They're the ones who are serving the Lord. Nice ceiling. You're doing some work.
No, Maharaj, we're just on the roof getting fresh air.
Oh, okay. This is the new covering on the roof.
Sorry. And I had a question also. I'm not clear on the last sentence. According to another school of thought, the effect exists in the cause in a potential form. That's clear. But the last part, I don't catch. And it is only manifestation of what already exists. Means, what does it mean that it already exists?
Means it. If it's a potential form, it means it already exists. But then it manifests. So in other words, something that already exists in a subtle form is manifesting. So the thing is the difference in the Satkaryavad, then you're saying it already exists in the original. So in other words, the material energy already exists in the Lord. The jivas already exist in the Lord. Now then it's just a matter of, but in a potential form, means they haven't been manifested yet. When they manifest, then they're manifesting what already exists. In other words, what the jiva manifests means they were already existent. The material energy manifests it was already existent. So it's a different, it's a point of, is it just within the cause and not manifest, or is now it has become, you know, it means manifest from the cause. But in either way, it's dependent upon. So just because it is potential form doesn't mean it's the cause, it's the shelter. That's the whole point, is that energies are always sheltered within the cause. You know, and then you can have the nimitta, which is then therefore what is manifesting the effect. And so in this way, it's also in one sense a cause, but it's not the ultimate cause. You know, just like the jiva may manipulate material energy, but its ability to be manifest in that way is already there in the Lord, in Brahman, right? And so therefore we can take part with the mechanics, and those mechanics then will respond and we'll get the transformation. You know, does that make sense? It's just like, let us say, you know, being topical here, you have your cement roof there, right? Now, within that cement roof, there is the potential of chipping little pieces out of it.
Yes.
Right? Therefore, you can hire some guy who you're not sure if he has, you know, more than half a synapse, and give him a hammer and a chisel, not a sickle, a chisel, right? And then he'll go up there and he can bang, you know, you can have him bang up there for, you know, a week, and then you get all those little holes there. But let's say you have a glass pot and you take that hammer and chisel, the effect is not within glass, therefore you can't chip it out like that. As soon as you hit it, it'll break.
Right.
So there has to be that is already there in a potential form, but it's still dependent upon the cause. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. So on this point, we basically agree with the Shankhya philosophy.
Yes, yes. Means we follow the devotional Shankhya, because they'll take it up to there, but then they may take it back to Pradhan and stop there. But the point is, Shankhya philosophy, just like it has it. So the Satkaryavad aspect that it's giving is an important aspect, but just like that everything's made out of atoms that are stuck together, then that point is accepted from Vaisheshika. But they try to make a whole philosophy out of that one thing. You know, just like, let's say, cooking. In cooking, you put a pot on the fire, put some oil in the pan, throw in some spices, cook them until they either get a particular aromatic or effect or a color or something like that. You know, so that's real. But now if our whole cooking system is only that, then it becomes very hard to make a complete cooking system. It's only part of a cooking system, right? So making a chance is real, but it's real as part of a bigger process. So now let's say you have the chance bodies, right? And so the chance bodies, then they say that's all there is the chance. So then, you know, they'll use a lot more ghee, because you'll throw in some spices, so all there is a bunch of ghee, you throw in spices, you throw in your vegetables, you know, you can throw in your rice and deep fry, you like that. So you always end up with just this chance with more things in it. Right. And so then they're trying to make a complete cooking system out of one part of it. Right. Or let's say someone else takes that the vegetables are steamed or boiled, and then they want to make a complete system out of that. That's also a problem. Right. So that's the difficulty, is that all the six schools have real elements within them, but they try to make a complete system out of those elements that they have. What they're missing is that they're only parts of elements of bhakti, but they're trying to make them complete in themselves. That's why then we say they're agnostic, because it's not that they don't agree that there is a God. It's just that they don't see their philosophy actually in context of God. You know, it's like the person on the street, you know, yeah, God's there. Yeah, maybe not. You know, sometimes they pray and like this. And, you know, it's not that God can't be there or can't be part of the scene, but he's not the central feature. That's why then sambandhagyan means he's the center of all relationships. So that means everything that you have, because you're dealing with anything, then you have a relationship with whatever you're dealing with. And so that then becomes the important element, is that if he's the central feature, then that means my relationship with something else is based on Krishna as the center, because he's what makes everything work. He is the cause. He is the effect. So I have to deal everything with him. Right? Does that make sense? So what they're showing is that the Asat Karyavad is a lower level of philosophy. Then you go up. Shankya system can defeat Asat Karyavad. Right? But he'll have its limitations. Therefore, you have to add in the mind and Patanjali. You have to add in effort mimamsakas. You have to add in, you know, the platform of the soul and the transcendental position of the soul with the Vedanta. But it's only when you get to the Vaishnava Vedanta, you see all that falls together very nicely in devotional service. Right. So if that's appreciated, then you can take just what's important. Just like in here, you say, oh, so it's from Shankya. So then, you know, everything could be Shankya. No, this part of Shankya is useful. So that's, you'll see sometimes devotees make a mistake, is that, you know, they talk to one guy and he's practical and logical and certain in something. You know, that's useful. But then they'll think, oh, because he's like that, then they'll ask him questions on things beyond what is his ability. You know, it's just like, let's say the guy knows something about, you know, some accounts or some management element or something like that within a certain context. And so, you know, and what he can do is he can give very good advice and input on how, let's say, a temple could run, you know, in his context. But then we make the mistake to think that, well, he's good at that. We can ask him about anything, you know. So how should we run, you know, our temple, you know, in the context of Krishna consciousness? And then because of false ego, many times these, you know, personalities, then they'll give their opinions and devotees may follow them. And it's a problem. Right? Because like that, so they don't understand is how much to accept. You accept what is useful. Everything else is left. That's the swan. It takes the milk, leaves the water. Right? Just because the milk's in the water doesn't mean the water is important.
Right.
Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj. And I just wanted to clarify, because previously we established that the Lord being the original cause and that the Nimitta, as the living entities, they follow. And then the Upadana is the last cause. But here in this particular Shankya philosophy, it sounds that the Upadana is the cause of Nimitta. They reverse them. Is that right?
You can say, but the point is where does Nimitta come from? That comes from the Lord. In other words, because we see cause effect like this, is that from the Lord comes the Upadana, but then from the Upadana, then you apply effect again, then you get other effects. So you're always going to have, is that means you're going to have Krishna's desire, right? So now if there's a desire, then there's going to be, you know, if there's emotion involved, right? Because the desire and the emotions, experiences, they all go together. But now to accomplish something, there must be willpower, right? And so willpower yes. means that there's going to be, how you say, ability to perform things, how you say, you know, qualities. There's going to be qualities with which you can accomplish things, right? Yes. But now what yes. do you accomplish with? That's with the upadana. So that's the kshetra, right? The place and ingredients. The place means the ingredients.
Right.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So therefore we see in Krishna, and so there's going to be that his desire is there, therefore there's willpower, and so there's activities that take place within the existence, right? So in other words, the Dham, the Sandini, within that you apply that willpower and that to obtain Krishna's desire, right? But it actually starts from the desire. We're so used to the inductive that we're thinking, oh no, it's this place. But okay, you have a place and all that, but what do you decide what to do? Right? It depends upon what your interest is, your desire. Let's say you go into a kitchen and someone's hungry, right? They're going to look at it that way. What if, you know, things are going on in the house and things are crazy and the kitchen's the only quiet place? So someone going to the kitchen there, their desire, their motive is not hunger. It's going to be quietness. So they're just going to sit in the kitchen because it's quiet. So just because you have a facility doesn't mean that anything will happen. It's only if there's willpower driven by desire. Right?
Yeah.
So that will be the whole point, is that that's why then the central point, what brings together the environment and the desire, is willpower, is endeavor. So in other words, you have the environment, that's the sambandha aspect. You have, you know, a goal that you want to taste, that's the prayojana. But without the abhideya, the two don't become connected. Right? So then Krishna, who is existence and his energies, who then can give, you know, so many varieties of happiness, is through pastimes that he interacts with his energies.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Yes. So you're always going to have the point, because it's Krishna's desire. Therefore, the latent material energy within him then becomes manifest. Right? And so then within that, then you can manifest things, just like you can take and just keep going with things. You take the earth, you can make it into the brick. The brick, you can make it into something else. That's something else that you've made. Now you can do something else. Like, you know, it's like, does that make sense? You take the earth, you make a brick. Right? That's the effect. Now with the brick as upadana, now you can build a house. You know, which is the effect. Now the house is upadana. Now I can perform an activity. That activity as an upadana, that will give me an effect of, let's say, you know, like that, of cooking. So therefore, then I have a meal. Right? So now the meal sitting on the table. That's the cause, and the effect will be, you know, the happiness and the taste that I gain from that. You understand?
Yes.
So it just keeps going.
Right.
So that's why sometimes the same thing. Krishna, so therefore, since it's him and his energies, he's both. But at any one point, you're looking at, sometimes that's why you see in one example, they're using cause and effect in one way, and in another, they're using it in another.
Yes.
Because it can be both.
Yes, so they basically bring it back to Pradhan, but they don't go any further to the Lord. That's all they do.
Yes.
They say Pradhan yes. cause.
That's all any of the six philosophies do. They never go beyond. They'll say Brahman, but the point is since they say that it's Asat Karyavad, so that the material, the Pradhan doesn't come from Brahman. Therefore, it doesn't exist in Brahman. So that means it's Asat Karyavad. It doesn't exist in the Lord. It's not eternal. So Sat Karyavad means it's eternal. Sat Karyavad.
Right.
And that Asat Karyavad means there may be, maybe even if they're accepting that Brahman is the you know, how you say, creating this effect, you know, is the nimitta, that the point is the material energy doesn't come from Brahman. It's coming from somewhere else.
Yes.
You know, and that somewhere else, how can they explain? Because if there's only Brahman, then it has to come from Brahman. But because they're using material, mundane logic, if it comes from Brahman, that means then Brahman becomes faulty because it has that temporary aspect. And because it's there, anything here, I take something away, it becomes less. While if you're dealing with unlimited, you know, 1 + 1 = 1, 1 - 1 = 1.
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions on this or? No. Okay. I'm thinking, well, because we only have like a minute left, but now we get into another theory. Now what the Charvaks and others say. So I think we'll stop here and then continue again later. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.